B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets it blocked. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now, here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Well, good morning, Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Salchunas in for Anthony Gargano right here on Cuz Radio, the midday show. Anthony off today. He'll be back on Monday. Hope everybody's getting set for what should be a hot but nice July 4th weekend. I'm sure there's a lot of people already down the shore. I was watching the news this morning. Ocean City, New Jersey was packed at like 8 in the morning. I know. I guess a lot of people went down yesterday. So enjoy your 4th of July weekend. I'm going to be talking some waivers today. We're going to continue the waiver conversation, but I'm going to change it into a different kind of direction. I'm going to make it more local. Now, in case you didn't hear, there's a bunch of waiver talk going on. There's waivers for the players, Major League Baseball players. It looks like there's going to be waivers for football players in the NFL. And those waivers, well, if you sign it, that means if you pass away due to COVID-19, you can't sue. Well, your family can't sue, which I think is kind of wrong, but I'm not surprised that a business, whether it's baseball, football, or any other business with a lot of money involved, I'm not surprised that that's happening. But there's also the waivers for the fans. The fans on whether or not you want to attend a football game, right? So they're going to do these lotteries, I'm sure. There's no way that Lincoln Financial Field is going to allow all 60-plus thousand fans in attendance. But they may do the lottery where, hey, let's just say it's 10. Or let's say it's 20. Let's say it's half. Let's say it's 30. And you may be picked. You're the lucky winner of one of the 30,000 tickets that will be given away that day. You already paid your money. You're just hoping that you get selected. And you get selected, but before you go to the building, you have to sign a waiver that if you die due to COVID-19, again, somebody in your family can't sue. Because, let's face it, the NFL doesn't really care about you. The NFL cares about making money, and the NFL wants to keep their money. It's going to be the same thing for baseball if they ever open up fans. Obviously, basketball and hockey, that's not going to happen with the hubs. But that's, I'm not surprised. Like, I know a lot of people were shocked by it yesterday. Like, oh my God, they're going to make this a legal thing? Oh yeah, because if they die, if you die because of them, at least that's what you would say. What? They don't want to pay for any sort of loss, right? They don't want to pay for that. They go, all right, you made the risk. You took the risk of coming here knowing with everything that's going on out there. You took the risk. We selected you, but because you signed this waiver, you took the risk to come to attendance into this game. And because you passed away, your family member cannot sue and make some sort of crazy amount of money out of our pocket. I'm not shocked. It sucks. It's scary. It's weird, but I'm not shocked. So we're talking about waivers today. Now, that's one of the conversations that's been going on, but I want to have some fun with our own Philadelphia waivers, because those waivers are dark, right? Those are some dark waivers. You know, we're talking about death. We're talking about people passing away due to a virus, or somebody in your family passes away because you contracted the virus at a football game, and then you pass it along to somebody who is at risk or an older person in your family. Because, yes, it does still affect people, even though a lot of people don't want to believe it. But that's the dark waiver conversation. I want to have some more light, some more fun, some more back to normal sports debate waivers that we're going to ask people whether or not you're going to sign. I'm going to have the Philadelphia waivers for all four teams. Because I'm sitting in Anthony's chair today, I didn't ask for permission, but I'm going to guess I could call it the 4-for-4 waivers. I guess I could call it that. And I want to see if people will sign these waivers. And it's about the current teams. It's about the current times. I will, at one point later on the show, open up the fan waivers, right? Because there's a lot of stuff that you see fans doing that you don't know if that's cool or not. They think it's cool, but it definitely isn't. But there's a lot of stuff that we need to discuss whether or not we should continue to do or not, or whether we will continue to do or not. Because the point of a waiver is, boom, this is the rule moving forward. So, I want to start because we're getting near 7-6 day. which I'll talk about later on in the show, which is, of course, on Monday, July 6th, 7-6 day, 76ers. You got it. I want to start with the Sixers, and I have a couple of waivers that I want to see if you or the masses would sign. And the number to get in today is 610-632-0975. We'll start with the head coach. Obviously, the head coach is a hot-button topic. I've been ready to move on from the head coach for a while. Pat Egan, who's producing the show today, has been looking forward to moving on from the coach for probably like 2 years now, maybe even longer. I don't know. But obviously, the head coach, Brett Brown, is a hot-button topic. And I think the majority of people in Philadelphia are just ready to move on. The thing is, because of the stoppage and because the playoffs are about to begin next month at some point in August, we still don't know the fate of Brett Brown. Because, hey, what happens if they do win the whole thing? What if, it's a fluke, but what if they win the championship based off of just pure talent? They figured out some sort of rotation. They figured out some sort of game plan. They went to this bully ball mentality. They didn't try shooting 33s a game because they don't have anybody that can really shoot lights out. What happens if they win? Well, you're not going to fire the head coach of the NBA Finals, the champion. You're not going to do that. This isn't Phil Jackson, the Chicago Bulls, after six World Series NBA titles. No. It's going to be, oh, Brett Brown won. He figured it out. He deserves another 3 years because he won the championship. Let's take a step back. We're not going to go to the NBA Finals here. The first waiver that I want to see if people will sign or not, and I'm interested to see what Pat Egan would say, and others like me who are ready to move on from Brett Brown. Let's just say the Sixers finish as the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. So they face Boston in round one, and they win. They face Toronto in round two, and they win. They move on to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they face the Milwaukee Bucks. And the Milwaukee Bucks are picked to go out of the East by every sports book, every sports analyst. Like, everybody's picking the Bucks to make it out of the Eastern Conference. Mike Miss yesterday, I was in for Tyrone, read me something where one book in Vegas has the Milwaukee Bucks having an 83% chance of winning the NBA Finals. Not just winning the Eastern Conference, not just getting to the NBA Finals, but winning the NBA Finals, they have an 83% chance. That's outrageous. But with that being said, so let's say the Sixers go in and they lose in six. Or they lose in five, but it's a hard-fought series, almost like the first year they made it to the playoffs against Boston. Right? They lost in five. There's really only one bad game, but the rest were hard-fought. Boston ended up coming up on top. So let's say the Sixers get to the Eastern Conference Finals. They lose to the Bucks, who a lot of people are picking to get to the NBA Finals, and now people are picking them to win the NBA Finals. Would you sign the waiver that Brett Brown is the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers next year? Because, and there's a caveat to this, because it's legal terms. Everything's legal terms in a waiver. Because of the shortened season, you can give me, and I agree with everyone who says this, Dwayne Casey was very successful in the regular season with the Toronto Raptors for like three straight years. If they weren't the one seed, they were the two seed. And every single year they ran into LeBron, whether it was round one, round two, or the Eastern Conference Finals, they lost. And Dwayne Casey, with the talent that he had in Toronto, this is pre-Kawhi Leonard, but the talent he had in Toronto, he could not find a way to move on past LeBron to move on to the NBA Finals. So what did Toronto do? They moved on from the Coach of the Year. Dwayne Casey won the Coach of the Year award the year he got fired. So they move on from Dwayne Casey. They bring in Nick Nurse. We know the rest of the story. Four bounces later, they beat the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then they move on and win the NBA Finals against a banged up Golden State Warriors team. But because there is a shortened offseason, right? It's July 3rd right now. The regular season won't begin until July 31st. I think some teams will start on the 30th. But the regular season is not starting until the end of this month. The playoffs will not start until mid-August. If the Sixers were to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, That means they are playing into October. Maybe September at the late, like the very end of September, if they're going Eastern Conference Finals. If they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, they may play all the way till October. If the season is starting in December, that's 2 months. That is 2 months. Are you going to wait and see if other coaches get fired and then you go, oh, you know what, Brett, there's a better guy out there. We're going to get rid of you. Or are you going to say, well, we got to the Eastern Conference Finals. We ran into the best team in the East. There's only 2 months till the next season starts. So you know what? Even though we were disappointed all season long, they made a run in the playoffs. It's a shortened off season with everything that went on. Brett Brown returns next year. If I say that, will you sign that waiver that he has to come back next year? Or do you go, nope, nope, I am not signing that waiver. Find a new head coach. 610-632-0975. I will stick with the Sixers. And I have many waivers for many teams. If Ben Simmons plays very well in the playoffs, will you complain about, obviously, the low-hanging fruit? And the reason why I ask this, there was a caller earlier this week in Anthony's show that said something that opened my eyes a little bit. Now, I will, because we always have to do it. I will start by saying Ben Simmons has a lot to improve on. You guys know that I am a big Ben Simmons, I guess you could say, defender at this point, because we know that there is that, I think it's the minority, but there's the vocal minority that just hates Ben Simmons. But we know how people feel about Ben. I'll say, yes, he needs to improve in his shooting. He needs to at least get a mid-range shot. I don't care about the three-pointer, but at least give me a mid-range shot. He needs to be a little more smoother around the rim, a little more touch. Because there's way too many times where he does that turnaround and then he sort of throws it one-handed and it clanks off the backboard, clanks off the rim. Sometimes it goes in. Sometimes it's also on a long rebound and the other team has a break. We know that Ben Simmons needs to also be more aggressive at the rim. Not throwing the ball at the backboard, but going strong to the rim and trying to slam it in. Flush it. Get the foul. And one. You miss the dunk. I don't care. I don't care if you go one of two at the line. The opposing team gets a foul. That player gets a foul. The team is closer to being in foul trouble. You're closer to being in the penalty and getting two shots every time you go to the line. Okay? So there's all that stuff. I know all that with Ben Simmons. But the caller earlier this week to Anthony made a point that I don't think we can debate. That Ben Simmons was the best player on the Sixers this season. Better than Joel Embiid. Better than Tobias Harris, who did have a pretty good stretch at one point in the season. He still needs to be more aggressive. But better than Joel Embiid, better than Tobias Harris, better than Josh Richardson, better than Al Horford, better than anybody on the bench. Ben Simmons was the best player on the Philadelphia 76ers this season. But what do? We still complain. And I get it. The complaints are warranted. But we act like Ben Simmons should be coming off the bench. We act like Ben Simmons is the fifth best player on the Sixers. We don't act like Ben Simmons was the best player on the team this year. So the waiver that I also have out there for you, if Ben Simmons continues to be the best player on the Sixers come playoff time, right? Let's say they lose in round one. Let's say they lose in round three. But Ben Simmons puts up, you know, close to averaging a triple-double. He's around 20 points, right? He's around 9 rebounds, 9 assists, whatever. Ben Simmons has a great playoff. Will you refrain for a year from going after the low-hanging fruit? Will you refrain from a year from going after that low-hanging fruit of Ben can't shoot? We know that Ben can't shoot. I heard again this week. Somebody called in, and the first thing he groused about when it came to Ben Simmons was, well, he can't shoot. We know that.
He literally does everything else well.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, we get it. Ben Simmons can't shoot. I'm going to get a tattoo on my face that says Ben Simmons can't shoot. I already know. So that when you want to debate Ben Simmons with me, you see right on my forehead, Ben Simmons can't shoot.
You know, this is so common in this city, too. And I got into it last night about of all players, Bobby Abreu. And it for whatever reason, in this city, sometimes we gravitate towards a really good player that we know is really good, but we nitpick their shortcomings and we convince ourselves that that they're not necessarily as good as we think. So we did it with Ryan Howard, right?
Yep.
Wins the Rookie of the Year, the MVP. But then when he stops hitting 58 home runs a season and he starts striking out, every single home run he ever hit was meaningless.
Yes.
We did it with Bobby Abreu. I tweeted yesterday, 400 stolen bases, but the guy's labeled as lazy. And the first thing I got from a guy was everything he did was hollow. They're empty numbers. And you're reaching that point with Ben Simmons where no matter what he does, people are just going to nitpick the one thing he doesn't do well. And because of that, they're going to convince themselves that he's not nearly as good as he is. And he is a very, very, very good basketball player.
Yeah, I mean, people always go to the, oh, well, it's not that good of a triple-double where it's 10, 10, and 10. Okay, I get it. You want, you know, 20, 15, and 14. I get it. But to do it over a course of a season, which he's doing, right? Like, he's close to averaging a triple-double. That's really impressive. That means he is attacking more so than what he normally does. And yes, he needs to be more aggressive. I'm not making up any excuses for Ben Simmons. He needs to be more aggressive. But he still facilitates like crazy. We want to talk about laziness. He's going after boards both on the offense and defensive side of the court. He's going after the rebounds. And I don't think he's a stat patter, right? We always talk about James Harden on this show because Anthony hates the Rockets. Anthony hates James Harden because James Harden is a stat patter. James Harden's stats, yeah, you know what? He wins them some games scoring 40 points. But I think he also hurts them when he's 10 of 40 shooting. Whereas Ben Simmons is doing things to help you win the game night in, night out. So I'll ask you, that's waiver two. If Ben Simmons continues to be the best player on the Sixers, like he was during the regular season, admit it or not, he was, would you sign the waiver to not go after the low-hanging fruit of Ben Simmons can't shoot, and that being the first thing you bitch about? Because we already know. We already know that Ben Simmons can't shoot, but I don't want people calling in here, right, after the Sixers get out of the playoffs and Ben Simmons averages near a triple-double. Oh, well, if only Ben had a jump shot. Yes, we already know that.
And I just want to point out, too, I got a feeling that if he started shooting, and a lot of us want him to shoot just to make the defense think about something else, but if he starts shooting, it's probably not going to be good. And there's going to be some people that, even if he shoots, because he's not making shots, they're going to complain about that. Oh, he's not a team player. He's being selfish. He's taking shots now.
Or all this time you've played NBA in your life and you that's how ugly your shot is? Well, yeah, that's why he didn't do it.
Yeah, says the guy on the couch eating chicken and a biscuit in a box. I mean, he's in a situation where he's for some fans, in a no-win scenario.
Right. All right, last one for the Sixers. Because these are all tough. Like, I get it. Like, the Brett Brown one, for me, is very difficult. I'm ready to move on from Brett Brown, but I know that if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, there's only 2 months until the start of the next season. And, pal, I'm going to get your thoughts on this in a second because I know how you feel about Brett Brown. We have similar thoughts, you even more so, in terms of your eagerness for Brett Brown to be out of here. So these are tough waivers, but waivers are difficult. Knowing that you can go to a football game, but you have to sign the dotted line, if I die, my wife can't sue, obviously that's a difficult thing to think about. So we have that for Brett Brown. We have the low-hanging fruit for Ben Simmons. One more with Ben Simmons, but this one also includes Joel Embiid. People love to try to trade him. Here in Philadelphia, national reporters, how many times have you read a story on ESPN, whether it's Brian Windhorst or Mike McMahon or McMiniman, whatever his name is, Dave McMiniman, all these guys want to trade one of the two. Right, Chris Mannix of SI.com was on with Anthony a couple weeks ago. Literally said, I don't think the two of them should be, any of them should be traded, but the conversation's out there. Why is the conversation out there? Because for some reason, people want to move on from one of the two before they bring in a new coach. So let me ask you this. If Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid play very well together in the playoffs, they play very well together, but obviously they're missing something. They're missing the sharp shooter that they had in J.J. Redick. Or guys like Tobias Harris, who you paid a lot of money, don't step up. Or a guy like Al Horford, who you paid a lot of money, still doesn't seem to fit. Or still just seems old. Like it looked like he aged 10 years before this season. Or the bench still stinks. If Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid play well together, would you go a year without saying trade one of the two? Can people do that?
No.
Why? Even if they play very well together and it's the pieces around them that don't do well, You don't think people can go a whole year?
Nope.
Why?
We can't have nice things.
Why?
Here's the problem. A lot of times the vocal minority is the loudest and the stupidest minority. The loudest people are screaming because the people that know what they're talking about kind of sit in the back and just they don't say much. But it's the people that are screaming, trade Ben Simmons, trade Joel Embiid. They're the loudest.
Yeah, but
and they will never stop because they're going to want to get their rhetoric out there to try to change people's minds and get agreement on their side. And it's not going to happen. So, no, I don't think there's ever a chance that even if they play well together and they show spurts, somebody will make up an excuse why.
I get that. And you know what, Pat? I've talked about it. I think we did a show together on the weekend once. I have my concerns with the two of them. Like, I have my fears where I've seen games where Simmons was out and Embiid dominated. I've seen games where Embiid was out and Simmons dominated because the two of them have their own, you know, their own best parts of their game that sometimes I don't think mesh. But there are ways that you can make them play together. So I don't blame people who think about it, but it's the people that are like so actively wanting to trade one of the two because they think that is what's best for the team.
When you never get equal value in NBA trades.
No, you
it's
never do.
So, you never so do. Rare.
But you also have no idea what a new coach could do. 610-632-0975. So, because the talk around sports is waivers right now, right? We have waivers for players. If they play and get sick and die, a family member can't sue. If a fan attends a game, signs a waiver, dies, family member can't sue. That's a dark conversation, right? Because it involves death. But I want to talk about it. I want to know if fans will sign a waiver to go. I'm not. I'm staying away. But on the lighter waiver note, I create my own waivers. And we start with the Sixers. Brett Brown, if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, would you sign a waiver that he's back next year? I'll get Pat's thoughts on the other side. Ben Simmons, if he plays well, will you sign a waiver to not go after the low-hanging fruit when it comes to the Ben Simmons debates? If Ben and Joel play well together, would you sign on the dotted line that for a year, you can't talk about trading one of those two players? 610-632-0975. We have a lot of other fun things in store today because it is July 3rd. It's the Friday of the July 4th weekend. I'm sure a lot of people are doing stuff this weekend, and I want to know what you're doing this weekend. The reason why I asked that is because Memorial Day weekend was still very early on in the COVID-19 process. Now, numbers are going up again. People don't want to admit that. But July 4th is further along, and I think people are ready to go do stuff. So I want to see if there are more people that are gathering this weekend because it's now July 4th. It's no longer May. So I want to talk about your gatherings. And I want to talk about a lot of other fun stuff, including waiting in line for a bagel for 30 minutes. And also, we got Twitter beefs, but the beef is somebody's using somebody else's Twitter. We'll get into all that fun stuff today. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Andrew Salchunas filling in for Anthony Gargano here on Cuz Radio. Anthony will be back on Monday, 10 o'clock hour, brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. So we are having the more, uplifting waiver conversations. And instead of signing waivers about death, about COVID-19, if you attend a sporting event. But I do want to hear from people who will still go, who will still sign. Because I'm not. I'm not going around any big crowds anytime soon. I'm just not ready. Now, I have admittedly said that I'm not somebody who really attends NFL games. I prefer watching the game from my couch. I think I get more from replays, but I know there are people that their life is 8 Eagles games a season, at least, right? 8 Eagles games at Lincoln Financial Field, K-Lot, Jetro Lot, whatever lot you hang out at. That's your life on Sundays for 8 Sundays a year. Sometimes you make the road trip, and sometimes when they make it to the playoffs, you attend those games as well. So I get it. that's like a big part of your life that may be missing this year. Or you get it whenever your name is pulled if they do some sort of ticket lottery for every home game. And if your name is pulled, I want to know, are you going to go to the game? Are you going to sign the dotted line of whatever waiver they come up with, that if you go and you get sick and God forbid you pass away, or even if you don't pass away, you just get sick, but it somehow messes something up inside you. All of a sudden, you try to sue the Eagles or you sue whatever football team and they go, you signed that dotted line. You signed that waiver. And let's face it, the NFL has good lawyers, right? So whoever's writing up these waivers, they're very, very articulate. They're very smart, these waivers, because they don't want to lose a penny. Again, it's dark that they are doing this, but I'm not surprised. I'm really not, because they don't want to lose any piece of money and they want to go, all right, hey, sorry, you signed the dotted line. So that's the dark waiver conversation. The other one at 610-632-0975. I started with the Sixers. I have waivers to sign for all four Philly teams. And as I sit in Anthony's chair, I'm going to term them the 4-for-4 waivers. He can come in here and knock me down if he thinks I should not use it, but I'm sure he's okay with it. The 4-for-4 waivers. We'll start with the Sixers. Brett Brown, Ben Simmons, and the duo of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. So, Pat, I want to ask you, because you are very eager to move on from Brett Brown, as am I, as am a lot of other people, but we have to understand that it's going to be a shortened offseason. If the Sixers are to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they just lose to the Bucks, who are the best team in the East, who are picked by many to get to the finals and picked by some to win the finals, if the Sixers get to the Eastern Conference Finals, lose to the Milwaukee Bucks in October, and you go, or it's going to be more so late September, because October 12th is that deadline date for Game 7. So late September, the Sixers go, oh, wow, we only have 2 months and change before the start of the next season. We can't go through a new coaching hire because we have the draft still. We have whatever training camp we'll have. I mean, we need to get a new coach within the next couple of days. You, Pat Egan, would you sign the waiver that he's back for a full season?
Absolutely not. No shot.
Even if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals?
No, because they were supposed to get to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and they came close, but they didn't do it.
Okay.
And the goal this year, if the goal of the process, and I had this argument with people probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, the goal of the process was to get really close and get a participation trophy, then fine, Brett Brown's great.
Okay.
We can keep Brett Brown. I personally swore that the whole goal of the process was to win a championship.
Multiple, in my opinion.
And Dwayne Casey, who you alluded to earlier,
yep,
went to the Eastern Conference Finals, won Coach of the Year. Has Brett Brown ever come close to winning Coach of the Year?
No.
Okay. They're the sixth seed. They continue to hype up the upcoming season, right? Making absolutely little to no sense. But all right, let's dare to dream. Say they do make to the Eastern Conference Finals and they lose. No. You're not coming back, man. You've had 7 years. I'm not going to hold the first four against you, but we constantly said, let's see what happens when Brett Brown has talent. He's had talent for 3 years in one way or another, and we just keep backing up the goalpost because the guy is likable. I like Brett Brown. You like Brett Brown.
Great guy.
I hope they win the NBA championship.
I said this yesterday to Jason, because Jason was in for Anthony yesterday. I was producing the show. And before the show, I don't know if you played a cut from Brett in one of your updates or if Mark played a cut during the show. And it was of Brett Brown because he had the Zoom call 2 days ago. I literally said out loud to Jason, oh my God, I can't stand listening to this guy. And he goes, why? I was like, because I like him too much.
I
hear Brett and I love him.
So I'm the same way in the sense of, but I like the guy. But I'm getting annoyed now listening to his cuts because I think to myself, are you trying to convince me, or have you actually convinced yourself that during a pandemic, your chemistry has amazingly gotten better? I don't know how that happens. You figured out how to way to use a $28 million guy who you had coming off the bench when you had training camp and a regular season. You couldn't figure it out how to use him then. But during a coronavirus, once-in-a-lifetime pandemic, now we figured it out. So I hear what he's saying, and I just get more and more incensed because I feel like we are setting ourselves up, or actually the Sixers are setting the fans up like Lucy with the football, and we're Charlie Brown, and they want us to run forward, and all they're going to do is pull it.
I forgot, you have no optimism for the playoffs.
None. I have zilch. Why would I? They're the sixth seed. And by the way, I once again heard today, they're built for the playoffs. Teams that are built for the playoffs are not the sixth seed. They're not.
That's good point.
That's ridiculous line of thinking.
That's a good point.
Teams that are built for the playoffs, lowest are a four seed. You have home court advantage if you're built for the playoffs. But this idea that they're going to just turn on a switch, we just keep backing up the goalpost for this team that, quite frankly, is not very good. You could argue they weren't well constructed, and then you could argue that they're not well coached. But either way, they're not a championship team. So no, I have zero expectations.
Well, I'm not saying championship. Are you still in the belief that they lose to Boston in round one?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not. I think they.
And I hope I'm wrong. By the way,
I mean they beat them three out of the four games this year. And the fourth loss, or the fourth game where they lost, I thought that's when everything was spiraling downhill. So, Pat, if the world didn't stop, I thought, all right, we'll see. You know, I still think they match up well, but because of the downward spiral momentum that they had, maybe they lose to Boston.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm in the minority because a lot of people that even agree with me on the sense of, you know, Brett Brown needs to go and this team's not very good, a lot of people, and I don't know, Brody Tasty Cake, Dom's one of them who says, there's no shot they lose to Boston. And I understand it because they had success against them in the regular season. But I look at Boston like maybe that's a team that's built for the playoffs. And there's the whole coaching aspect of it, right? I mean, Brad Stevens is much better than Brett Brown. No one can argue that. So, I'm so down this team right now. It's unfortunate.
Wow. 610-632-0975. So, Pat Egan not signing the waiver that Brett Brown would be back next year if they got to the Eastern Conference Finals and the Sixers only have about 2 months and change before the start of the next season. So you'd have to do a quick coaching search. Maybe they don't get the guy that they really want. So what, do they do an interim guy for 1 year? Would you prefer that?
At this point, man, I'm ready to just get anything. You know, I mean, I feel like we're in a relationship right now, and I'm sure I've equated this to it before in the air, but I'm sure you yourself or maybe a friend that you know was in a bad relationship and you kind of tried to get them out of it, saying,
oh, yeah,
you can do better, man. And they were like, no, I can't do better. Oh, no, I mean, she's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I can't do better than her. And you're sitting there going, what are you talking about? She sucks. I feel like that's where we are with the city of Philadelphia and Brett Brown, where we have it in our head that, oh, my God, you can't move on with a coach midseason. You can't. What are you doing, get an interim guy? Well, could you possibly be worse? We are right where we wanted to avoid being when we started the process, a mediocre basketball team. And not only are we a mediocre basketball team, we are a mediocre basketball team that has maxed out the cap. Like, we're done. We don't have any assets. This is it.
Only the best analogies from Pat Egan. The girlfriend that you can do better than.
I'll see myself out.
Six. You did your job today. You're done.
I'm going on a high note.
Dylan's going to come in and run the board the rest of the show. All right. 610-632-0975. Let's start things off on the phones with Nick in Collegeville. What's up, Nick?
Tune in.
What's going on, man?
You okay?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear.
Pat, what's up, buddy? Look, I'm in Pat's camp like 98%. The only way he stays if we get to the Eastern Conference, if we get to the championship finals, is if they look like a good team and he progressed, basically coaching his team.
Right. So you're almost saying basically last year, but the Eastern Conference Finals, right? You go to Game Seven,
right.
and Giannis hits a quadruple doink.
Yeah. Exactly. You know. Game 7, Game 6, everyone fought, you know, tooth and nail, every point, and I'll accept that. But let's go to bed. Okay, no, I don't want to go to bed. Let me do this. If Al averages 16, 7, and 8 for this run, will you be happy with that?
Al Horford?
Yeah.
16, 7, and 8? Yeah, because it's a lot better than what he was giving you during the season.
How about if Joel averages that?
Not anymore.
What about Tobias?
Tobias, I wouldn't mind him scoring close to 20 a game.
Okay, so why do we want Ben Simmons, even though he's the best player on the team? Listen, LeBron's always going to be the best player on this team.
Yes.
Always, even when he's 49 years old, okay? But why do we want our great guard who defends well and rebounds well, does everything great, but he's a 16, 7, and 8, his career and this year, okay? I don't care how great he is. He was a number one pick. He was supposed to be transcended. And he's a guy who mentally, here's the problem. It's not that he physically can't do it. He mentally is scared to death to shoot a ball in a league where the only goal of the league is to score the ball. You can't win a game 0-2. You have
correct.
To win 2-0.
Yes.
So you have to score. So that's my thing with Benson. I don't want to trade him. Like Pat said, when you trade in the NBA, if you get a half a sack of potatoes back for the full sack you just gave away, you're lucky. 9 times out of 10, you lose so much for the trade. But at the end of the day, Ben Simmons needs to start to transcend on this team.
Right, so Nick, I need Ben to score more than 16 a game, right? Like if he's giving me 20, that's I'm still happy with 20. Because here's the thing, the amount of facilitating that he does, the things that he opens up for other players, if Joel Embiid is averaging 25, 26, Embiid's the guy that I think should be scoring the most on average on this team anyway.
And he does. Listen, he's having an off season. There's no question that Ben's the best player this year. But at the end of the day, he can't be the best. He can't have his, if this is his best season this year, with his eyes closed, he should be averaging.
Yeah, but this isn't going to be the best season of his career. I only see Ben Simmons. I think he goes up, right? Like, I think his ceiling is still up. I've said this a couple times. I think his ceiling is higher than Joel Embiid, not just because of everything that Simmons can do on the court. Obviously, Embiid can do a lot. He scores, he blocks, you know, he protects the rim, he grabs rebounds. He's always going to give you double-digit rebounds. But I also think longevity is something that you have to consider, which I think Ben Simmons obviously has a longer, at least we can expect a longer career ahead of him than Joel Embiid just because of the injuries.
Right, but all I'm saying, though, I agree. Look, this is his best season so far. So this is great. This is definitely the best we've seen out of Ben Simmons. But even though this is the best we've seen out of him now at the last two and a half healthy years, he's still averaging 16 points a game. With his eyes closed, he should be averaging 20. Seriously.
Well,
I mean, if he's top 7-8 in the league, how's he not averaging 20 points a game with his eyes closed?
Oh, it's like you don't want to hear, it's everything else that he does. That's why we think so highly of Ben Simmons is because of the way he facilitates, the way he... he is a top defender in the NBA.
Okay, so let me do this. He's top defender. So I'm going to say that then nullifies 7 extra points on the defensive side. So now he's averaging technically 23. He scores 16, defends 7 extra points a game. So now he's up to 23. That's still nothing compared to Giannis, Joel, LeBron, Kawhi, your top 20 guys in the league who can defend.
Yeah, but you know what's good, Nick? And I appreciate the call, man. Enjoy your weekend. It's good that you have Joel, right? He said that's nothing to compare with Joel. Well, Joel's on your team. Joel is the main scorer on this team. Tobias Harris was paid to be a top 2 scorer on this team. And I like Ben Simmons, the player, more than I like Tobias Harris. But Tobias Harris, one of his roles, other than just being a leader, is to still score. Is to still average over 20 points per game. That's what he was paid for. Now, I've been open about it. I didn't like that decision. I didn't like the max contract for Tobias Harris. But you had to do it because you're losing out on Jimmy Butler. And your team can't be Ben and Joel again. We already did that. You needed Ben, Joel, and somebody else. You needed the third party. And Tobias Harris is the third party.
Yeah, and once you gave up the assets of the Heat pick and Landry Shamet, you kind of had to bring him back.
Yeah, exactly. At that point, you needed to bring him back. And this was before the Al Horford thing, right? So you still needed to bring Tobias Harris back because you weren't going to win with Simmons, Embiid, and Horford either. Like, if that was your quote-unquote big three, Simmons, Embiid, Horford, you're not winning anything. But you have a better shot of Simmons, Embiid, and Harris if Tobias Harris is what they thought he would be. A guy who was a little more aggressive, a guy who's scoring a lot more. Ben Simmons, whether you like it or not, is a facilitator first.
I find him the most annoying out of this group, actually, Tobias Harris.
Because you expected more.
It's not just because, I expected more. It's because he's done a lot with the hype train. If you remember, he was the guy who came on in the offseason and was like, yo, I'm working out with Ben. He's going to shoot.
Yep.
Oh, he's shooting.
Yep.
And it kind of made all the fans think that he was going to shoot. And now he's going on, ESPN, some crap hot take show and saying, well, our issues was, bad chemistry, but, I think we figured that out. How? Like, how have you figured it out? You haven't been with your teammates in how long?
That's the other thing. Tobias Harris is supposed to be the leader of this team. A lot of people said that Tobias Harris took over as the leader of this team.
Tobias Harris.
It's not a good thing. It's got to be Ben or Joel.
Well, I remember an interview we did with Keith Pompey back in January where we asked, who's the leader of this team? He said, it was Josh Richardson.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
Who had been there for about 12 and a half minutes. He's the leader?
That's a problem.
I think Tobias Harris in a situation, though, where he follows the George Costanza method of, it's not a lie if you believe it. And I believe that he thinks that their chemistry has gotten better. But I just, when I heard that, I went, let's break that down for a second. How has your chemistry gotten better when you're not allowed to practice with your teammates?
Well,
how does that
out.
Work?
Maybe they had some glass of wine via Zoom, the Zoom call wine. A lot of people doing that nowadays, and maybe they crack some jokes.
Is that what you and your baseball team does?
No. I don't do Zoom calls.
No Zoom calls with your teammates?
I don't do Zoom calls.
How's your chemistry with those guys?
Oh, we're good, man. We have a group chat. Group me. That thing's always buzzing.
And that builds on quarter on the field chemistry, of course, when you're constantly communication.
Well, we already have, you know, if you ever play a video game, it says team chemistry, it's the percent. We're always at 100. The Sixers aren't, though. We'll see. We'll see once they start playing.
Tobias Harris is inching up there to that 100, though.
He believes so. 610-632-0975. So some of the waivers that we're discussing so far, all Sixers-oriented. I have ones for the other teams as well. Brett Brown, if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they just lose. But hey, you only have 2 months and change before the start of the next season. Are you signing the waiver that he has to stay for one more year? Ben Simmons was the best player on the Sixers this season. A caller said that to Anthony, and it opened my eyes. Because I like Ben, but I didn't really think about it. Like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Ben Simmons was the best player for the Sixers this season. If he continues to be the best player when the playoffs start, can you sign the waiver where you will not go after the low-hanging fruit for a full season? Ben Simmons can't shoot. Ben Simmons isn't aggressive. Now, you're right, but it's just such the easy thing to go to. Right, that's what we always go to. That's what a lot of people always go to. And the last one, if Ben and Joel play well together, right, it looks like that they can really play well together. Brett Brown somehow figured out something. Will you go a full year saying or not saying that you're going to trade one of the two players? 610-632-0975. Chris on the cell. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, boys? I heard the Young Guns, so I had to call up.
Oh, what's up, Chris?
And have a great weekend with your families and be blessed and be safe. And I signed my first waiver this morning. I'm 8 miles out of an 88-mile run to a fast pitch softball tournament with my kid in Easton, Pennsylvania. So they got us to sign waivers for that. So I already signed one. So what else do you want me to sign?
Are you signing anything for the Sixers? Are you signing? Are you going to go to a sporting event, Chris? Would you?
Hell, I'm a season ticket holder for the Sixers.
Yep.
I ain't even going there. Hell no, no way, no. Just like my oldest one tried to go to the beach. I said, that beach, my 22-year-old wanted to go down there this weekend down to Ocean City. I said, it's like ants on top of each other. You go down there, you're not coming back in this house. I got two other children to protect, your younger sister and brother. You'll be out. Go sleep at your boyfriend's house.
And I watched the news this morning. It was packed at like 8, 9 in the morning. People were setting up their chairs down there in Ocean City. And they're opening up the casinos. See where my mind's at. The arcades.
Yeah, you and Pat are a lot smarter than this old grumpy man. I didn't see many masks when I was watching him setting up. Not many at all. So, not me. And Brett Brown, I'm with Pat. Not only wouldn't I sign it, I would burn it. He should have been zipped last year from ear to ear with a box cutter knife. No way. Ben Simmons, you never get rid of him ever, ever, ever. All he has to do is get his free throws up to 70%. I don't even need a mid-range shot. Give me an elbow shot from like the Hoosiers,
yep.
and I'm fine, and I'm not getting rid of JoJo. There ain't no shot, shape, or form. If anybody's going, Brett Brown's going, and guess what? No one flies under the radar, guys, because Pat's devious like me. He thinks like inner stuff. Elton Brand gets a pass in this city, man, like no other.
See, I don't. Here's the thing, Chris. Elton Brand, when he signed Al Horford, I would say 99.5% of Sixers fans were excited.
I was not one of them.
Now on Saturday, Mike, because I do the Saturday show 9 a.m. to noon. Last Saturday, I said that I had heard from one caller since Al Horford became a member of the Sixers. One caller say that he didn't like the Al Horford signing from the beginning. You are number two. It's been almost a year.
Well, no, it's funny, Andrew. Because I watch a lot of stuff, and I don't know nothing, man. I'm just a sports dude that owns a couple laundromats. Everybody said he's going to come in here and play the four. I go, I've been watching this guy for years. I've never seen him more than 5 minutes playing at the four. It's like you go to your wife and she can't cook. And you go, hey, babe, I need a lobster tail, surf and turf, a bottle of wine, and some steamers. And she puts in a Happy Meal. I just didn't get it. And then with the bully ball, we played it one game. And here we go, and I know I'm short for time. Here, you put this in your tickler file. I was not for drafting regular, the wide receiver. I wanted Jefferson and nobody else wanted him. You watch, man. You watch. It was the wrong pick. Love you guys. Drink some cold ones. Wish my kids some fast pitch. They'll put them in play.
Good luck in the tournament, Chris. I appreciate the call. Enjoy your weekend. You're not the only one that wanted Justin Jefferson over Jalen Reagor. You're not the only one. A lot of people wanted Jefferson over Reagor. I'm in the wait and see mode. I would have taken either or, right? Like, I was not, oh my God, Jefferson, or oh my God, Reagor. I'm more so, all right, you missed out on the top three guys, so I'll take either one of these guys. And I know a lot of the scouts have Jefferson over Reagor, but here's the deal. Rager's more of a need. You needed the outside speed, deep threat, which right now the only guy you have is DeSean Jackson, who does that. And let's face it, DeSean Jackson, he could have another groin rip off the bone like he had last year, right? DeSean Jackson is a lock to miss games.
Don't talk that into existence.
I'm sorry. But he's a lock to miss games. So you needed another guy that could run, play that position, and that's Jalen Reagor. 610-632-0975. I'll open up some of the other teams' waivers coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. We're also going to have some fun about your weekend plans. I got a lot going on. Bagel conversation. I did my man Pat Egan a solid today, but my God.
It was so good.
Waiting 30 minutes for a bagel is outrageous.
It was worth it.
And then I almost did a violation on myself, but I need to hear what other people think about it. So I'm going to open that up on the other side. The violation on myself from last night at dinner. I need to know if people agree with me or not that this should not happen. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas filling in for Anthony Gargano on Cuz Radio right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.